from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. At 9, we'll take a look at renewed criticism that the San Francisco Superior Court is too lenient on property crime offenders. Although reports of car break-ins are down 20% compared to last year, some San Franciscans want the court to impose more strict sentences to further reduce property crimes. And then at 9:30, last week, a San Francisco jury issued a verdict against Monsanto and awarded $289 million to a Bay Area groundskeeper who claimed that the chemicals in the weed killer Roundup gave him terminal cancer. We'll hear about the case and what science tells us about the dangers of the pesticide. And that's all coming up after the news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Deshaun Patton, a convicted auto burglar who was recently indicted for felonies related to 8 car break-ins in the course of a year, is being considered for an early release from jail. And that's according to a recent column in the San Francisco Chronicle by Heather Knight. Critics say the court is being too lenient. We're going to discuss what the case says about public safety in San Francisco and how to tackle meaningful criminal justice reform while keeping the streets safe. Joining us in studio is San Francisco columnist Heather Knight. Good to have you here. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
We also have with us San Francisco public defender Jeff Adachi. Welcome, Jeff.
Morning.
Good morning to you. And Heather Knight, let me begin with you. This is a pretty hard-hitting piece that you wrote, and we're talking about someone who has, I guess the count is up to 11 kind of passes?
Yeah, so he, in April, was indicted by the grand jury on 20 counts, including 11 felonies related to a string of car break-ins. What I found the most interesting was that in 4 instances, he fled from police, ramming his car into a police car with officers inside, driving up the sidewalk towards officers, and in the worst instance, hitting an innocent bystander in a different car who was hospitalized for 4 days.
So we've got all these charges and actually break-ins, property crimes, as well as car burglaries, and keeps getting probation over and over again?
Right. He was already on probation in San Mateo County for a
He broke the probation at one point.
Yes, yeah. Was on one different probation in San Francisco for a car break-in. And all of this happened while he was on those probations.
How do you explain all these, what some would call slaps on the wrist or, you know, not really accountability for the judge either?
I can't explain it. That's why I wrote the column.
All right. Jeff Adachi, can you shed some light on this? It's a somewhat sensational case, but certainly has caused a lot of attention appropriately.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of frustration in our city and other urban cities about auto burglaries. In 2017 alone, there were 31,000 car break-ins in San Francisco, you know, which is a huge increase from what we've seen in the past. And, you know, this case sort of, you know, represents a story about, well, what do you do with someone who repeatedly is arrested for car burglaries? And, you know, just to give you some context, out of the 31,000 car break-ins, there were only 350 defendants that were brought to court in the entire year. You do the math, and that comes out to about 1% of cases. And you know, so there's a tremendous amount of frustration that the citizens of San Francisco have about what are you going to do about these cases. And that's why I wanted to come on the show and talk about sort of my frustration, what I'm seeing in the criminal justice system, and how the failure, I think, of the system to address these problems early on results, I think, in a situation where a person's going to come back again and again and again. And one thing I'd want to note is that although I know Heather wrote in her story about Mr. Patton running away and threatening people with his car, I mean, he was primarily indicted for nonviolent crimes. I don't think there were any violent crimes. A violent crime would be like felony assault, or if you assault somebody with using a car, that's felony assault. But he was indicted on auto burglary, receiving stolen property, resisting arrest, several hit-and-run charges.
He's got quite a jacket, as they say. Yeah. I mean, and I think the – well, Heather, we don't know actually what the sentencing is going to be yet, though, right?
Right. I just wanted to note that it's – to me, it was more serious than just breaking into cars and taking people's backpacks because of these hit-and-runs. I mean, when you're sending an innocent person to the hospital with head and rib injuries, I think that's, you know – could be considered violent.
And just for the record, isn't this the same judge, Christopher Height, who was, I think, in your public defender's office, Jeff, who let go about 64,000 and some outstanding warrants that Ed Lee said should have been used somehow to get social services as opposed to just letting him go entirely?
Well, yeah, Judge Chris Height is assigned to Department 23. So actually, all the felony cases that go through the Hall of Justice wind up in front of him because he's the judge that considers settlements. And yes, he was a judge that dismissed a number of, I mean, thousands of what they call infraction cases. But that's something that's been done since the 1990s. And it used to be that the district attorney would do it. And now the courts are doing it. And it's basically a purge that occurs on fines that are uncollectible or deemed uncollectible.
They're often homeless people and people who are loitering or doing those kinds of things that aren't considered. In fact, Heather, let me get your take on this, because a lot of this has to do with Prop 47, I mean, in terms of the big picture, which essentially said that, you know, people who have are indigent or have problems with poverty and everything and aren't doing violent crimes, not necessarily should get a pass, but there should be a general leniency. And the voters were behind this. Is this failing? Is this what this points out, perhaps?
Perhaps. I think that in this case, the district attorney decided to consolidate all of these charges against Deshaun Patton so he could bring home their seriousness. And then when you see that the grand jury did indict him on 20 counts, including 11 felonies, it shows that it's, you know, like I said, a bigger deal than just taking things out of cars, which I think Prop 47 was driving at.
And getting back to what the public defender Adachi said a moment ago, if he's granted probation, the chances are that there's going to be recidivism, and the chances are he's not going to be caught because the numbers seem to suggest that all over the place.
Yeah, it's extremely hard to catch car burglars in the act. Even when police are around and know that there's a suspicious car, it's extremely hard to get them because it literally takes about 5 seconds to break into a car, take something, and drive off.
It's just crash and take, really, pretty much, for the most part, often with tourists as the victims. But what does it say about our court system? I mean, from your perspective, or Christopher Height, where is his accountability if he's letting this guy go on probation over and over and over again?
Yeah, I think that's why people are so frustrated in San Francisco. Their homes are getting broken into. Their cars are getting broken into. There's property crime has gone way up, and they just feel like there are no consequences. Even if police are able to make an arrest, the DA is able to charge it, and it gets to the court. And oftentimes, at that point, very little happens.
Well, Jeff Adachi, actually, let me throw a question at you. Is property crime not that important? You know, what's an appropriate punishment for these crimes?
Well, in property crimes, auto burglary specifically carries a sentence of 16 months to 2 to 3 years in state prison. So there are three possible sentences depending on your background. Or you could receive probation in county jail. Now, in this instance, Mr. Patton, and we don't represent Mr. Patton. He's got a private attorney. But he faces a maximum sentence if he is convicted of everything the grand jury indicted him for of 7 years and 8 months. The prosecutors offered him 5 years and 8 months. And normally, you know, that's not much of an incentive to plead guilty because it's pretty close to what he would receive, even if he got the maximum sentence. Well, what Judge Height did here is said, okay, I'm going to give you 6 years and 4 months, but I'm going to suspend that sentence and put you on 3 years probation and make you do a program. Now, these kinds of deals are very dangerous for a defendant because all he needs to do is slip it once and he gets 6 months, 6 years in 4 months without a trial. It's automatic. This is what's called a suspended sentence. And
Let me go back to Heather Knight, though, because there's the argument that car break-ins are actually down in San Francisco, isn't there?
Police and the DA have statistics that show that they're down 20% from this time last year. Last year, they were absolutely skyrocketing, and people were so frustrated that the police department, DA, and City Hall finally started paying attention. They're putting up more signs warning tourists. There's been more media coverage, so they are down.
And crime rates overall are down. But what about what Jeff Adachi says about, look, you know, we've got a deal here. We'll make a deal because look at what's at risk. If you take another chance at doing a car burglary, you're going to really do some serious time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hopefully he'll take it seriously this time, but he's already broken two probations and hit people and hospitalized them when he was already on probation. So
I want to hear what our listeners have to say. This is a half-hour segment, and many of you, obviously, I would think, obviously, would want to weigh in on this and let us know your thoughts and ask any questions and bring any questions to the fore. Let me tell you how you can join us, and you can join us now. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. The number again, 866-733-6786, or join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org. Or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. Or you can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. But if you'd like to join the conversation, or if you have questions or comments or want to weigh in here, now would be the time to do that, because we'll be shifting gears after the 9:30 break. We're talking about property crimes in San Francisco and how the courts should respond. And joining us is San Francisco columnist Heather Knight, who's here in studio with us, and San Francisco public defender Jeff Adachi. Say something, if you would, Jeff Adachi, about accountability for judges.
Yeah, well, I think where judges are concerned, they're going to be looking at a car burglary case seriously. Last year, the Superior Court did an entire analysis on every property crime, and it shows that on average, for a person that has no prior convictions, typically they'll get a sentence of anywhere from a couple weeks to, 3 or 4 months. People who have prior convictions, it can be a county jail sentence of up to 6 months to 20 months. And these are based on the averages. And so, this is on the Superior Court's website and, the statistics they provide. But one thing I wanted to note is that what we found has worked in these cases in terms of, having people with multiple cases not coming back is a program that's called Young Adult Court. And we've had a number of clients successfully not only make it through this court and not recidivate, in other words, not commit new crimes, but get jobs. And the one thing that we found has worked, and it's interesting because last year I did a survey of people in the county jail who were charged with auto burglary, because I was curious, why, they would commit auto burglaries. And so what I learned is that there's a lot of what I call urban myths out there about people finding $50,000 in a car or a bag of diamonds. And some of these actually turned out to be true. And so you have folks who have this information that thinks, if I break into a car, I'm going to find a bag of diamonds. Because, there's a lot of rich people in the city who leave stuff in their cars.
Bags of diamonds, wow.
it's kind of this this feeling that, I can strike it rich if I break into a car. Most of the people who are breaking into cars, I found out, are maybe netting $20 or $30. Most of them are barely able to survive, and they're committing these crimes. Of course, you have rings of people who are doing that. I'm not talking about, sort of organized crime, but you're talking about people who are just stealing in order to survive. And most of these folks would take a job over having to creep around at night and break into cars. And so this program has basically found them jobs in the food industry, janitorial services, working at Goodwill, and it's been incredibly successful. The problem is it's limited to 25 people.
Right? Yeah, I was just going to say it's a problem that you don't have enough people who can avail themselves of this or that can be covered by this. But there is a new – I just want to get this PPIC study that says that there's an increase in thefts overall, but not violent crimes. And Lenore Anderson, for example, who many of you remember because she was the author of Prop 47, takes a stance that sentencing policy does not deter crime. We have had a drop in the prison population. Of course, it costs a lot of money for taxpayers to keep them in prison. But you hear these arguments back and forth that go back and forth because it has to do with just how do you keep people off the streets and what do you do about these crimes? And also about accountability for those who sit on the bench. Let me go to our callers and let's hear what you have to say. And let's begin, Tamara, with you. Good morning.
Taking my call, I appreciate it. The comment I had was particularly for Mr. Adachi. Please, I think it would be helpful to the listeners if there was just a little bit of a discussion about in the sentencing processes about the consideration for credits for time served, as well as when you're talking about sentencing, you're really talking about half time for good behavior in quotes. And I don't need a anything online. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Jeff Adachi.
Well, that's true. I mean, credit for time served simply means if you've done a number of days in jail, that's going to be credited against your present sentence. And in most cases, if it's a nonviolent offense, you would qualify for good time, meaning that you would do half. And so if you got a 5-year sentence and it's a nonviolent crime, you'd probably do half of that time actually in jail. And most people are surprised to find that. Now, that's true in the state system, but not the federal system.
Here's Frank, who writes, I'm a board member of the San Francisco Anti-Crime Grassroots Group, Stop Crime SF, featured in the Chronicle article. We sponsor Court Watch to show judges we are watching their performance. What legislation or policy changes should we push for in San Francisco at the local level to reduce property crimes? Do you have any thoughts on that, either one of you? Heather?
That's a good question. I think just more accountability from City Hall and the entire criminal justice system, including the Superior Court. I think sitting in on these hearings and watching and letting the judges know that people care is a good step in the right direction.
Yeah, and I do encourage groups and individuals to come to court and see what's happening. That's the best way to get a sense of what's happening in these cases. And what people find is that it's a lot more complicated than what you think. What I would like to see is an expansion of these jobs programs. And again, not to say that everyone who is accused of car burglary, wants a job. But for those that do, we can, decrease crime by funneling people out of poverty, into jobs. And
of course, so you have the difficulty of them, many of them being ex-cons, and you have to find somebody who's willing to hire an ex-con.
We've been pretty successful, right? We have the sort of ban-the-box approach in San Francisco where people don't look at criminal convictions until the person has gone through the interview process. And, most of these jobs that they're being placed at are vocational jobs, but you're still making $15 an hour, which is pretty good. I mean, it's expensive to live in San Francisco, but it's pretty good.
Unless you find diamonds in the car.
Yeah, right.
All right, let me bring some more of our callers aboard, and we go, Frank, to you. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm a board member of the San Francisco Anti-Crime Grassroots Group that's featured in Heather's article, and we've been following Patton's case for 6 months. The real problem that I don't think Jeff Adachi has addressed is, what do you do with the repeat offenders? He's a guy who's done this before. And it's, as he did point out, it's really tough because the police very seldom catch people. They catch about 2% of them. So if you're a repeat offender, you've been doing this a lot. So, what can we do about these repeat offenders? They go to jail. If the sentence is for 10 months, they really only go to jail for 5 months. And if they've been held in custody for a few months, they may get off. It's catch and release.
Yeah, and Frank, the thing I would point out, I mean, Mr. Patton, I understand, is 21 years old. So it's not like he's 40 years old and he's been doing this for 20 years. Now, the question becomes, right, what do you do with somebody who's coming back again and again and again? You can lock them up for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then they get out, and what's going to happen? And what I'm saying is that unless we address the core of it, and this is what I've been trying to get the district attorney to agree with. Now, he's under a lot of political pressure because he's getting a lot of heat. He's got an election coming up, and that's why I think you're seeing them really going after folks charged with auto burglary, because this is a hot issue in San Francisco.
But George Gascon has expressed his frustration, too, at the courts not necessarily following through.
I think so. But what you're going to see now is even higher sentences. What I've been trying to convince him to do is let's get to the root cause. I was talking to the police chief, Bill Scott, the other day, and he agrees that we need to do something different. And one of the ways that we can begin addressing it is to have a special program to deal with these folks. It's interesting because we've looked at sort of the life histories of some of the folks who are involved in repeat offending auto burglaries. And one case, for example, involved a man who witnessed one parent killing the other and testified at trial against one of them. So you're talking about people who experience a lot of trauma. And I talked to the person who runs the young adult court. I said, well, of the auto burglary defendants in your court, how many of them suffer from trauma, in your opinion? He said they all do. They all have, major family issues, trauma issues. So unless you address that, And I'm not saying...
Do we know that's the case with Deshaun Patton and Heather Knight? You know?
His attorney wouldn't talk to me, so I don't really know what his story
is. But I mean, if you're 21 years old and you're getting this kind of arrest record, right, in a short period of time, that's a pretty big indicator that there's something wrong. So are we going to address it? Or, you know, is he going to be 60 years old and still cycling in and out of the system? That's the question.
Well, that is indeed. And there are many other questions that I'm raising here. Let me get Beth on next, though. Beth, thanks for waiting. Join us. Hi. Beth, are you there? Yeah, go ahead.
This is Beth Wakis calling. I'm the executive director of the Insight Garden Program. I've been working on the inside in prisons for 15 years, providing rehabilitation programs for people who are incarcerated. And I just want to say that at the cost of incarcerating somebody at $75,000 a year per person, it seems to me that we need more programs inside. We need more programs on the outside to support people when they leave, because this is one of the most disenfranchised groups that we have in our country. And finally, we need to address, I think, the deeper issues of disparities of income, structural racism. I mean, there's just so much here, and unpacking the trauma that people have that lead them to behavior in the first place. So I think this is a great conversation. I also think that there's a lot more underneath that needs to be explored and a lot more that can be done. And I think there's a lot of good stuff going on out there with programs inside and outside, and I'd really like to see more of that. So
all right.
My comments off the air.
Thank you. Thank you for your
Can I just
call.
Add grateful one thing? For it. Yeah. I would just say that the programs have to be linked to employment. One of the best programs right now is a coding program where they teach prisoners how to code. You know what? There's almost a 99% employment rate and success rate because they can find jobs.
Well, coders can definitely find jobs. That's true. Heather Knight, what is the status of, at this point, Deshaun Patton? It was supposed to be this Friday, the decision, but it's put off for a couple weeks?
I heard it's going to be 2 weeks after it was originally scheduled. I'll confirm that later today, but that's what I was told.
And your response to the article? What kind of response have you had?
Oh, overwhelming. I haven't been able to go through all the emails yet. They're still coming in, but people are happy that... we're focusing on this issue, and they're curious about how the courts work because it's not very obvious from the outside.
You hit a nerve.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to have Heather come to the young adult court, too.
Yeah, I'd love
It'd
to
be
see that.
Interesting to see, you know, how that piece
Well, and another suggestion from a listener says that National Night Out, all the police could talk about is how the revolving door of misdemeanor property crime has been a disaster. And there you have it, the heart of what we're talking about here. Appreciate very much both of your being with us. Thank you, Jeff Adachi. Jeff Adachi is a public defender for the city and county of San Francisco. And Heather Knight, also with us, San Francisco Chronicle columnist. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Let me tell you about the next segment that's coming up. When we come back, we're going to talk... a jury decision linking cancer to Roundup, award of $289 million to a groundskeeper. Stay tuned for that. It's right up ahead. I'm Michael Krasny.